Hello everyone, and welcome to Yes In Zined Pod. I'm Albie, your host today, and this time we're talking to Joe about the game The Fall of Home. Hi there, Joe, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Would you like to take a minute to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Joe Winter. I release various kind of small indie tabletop game things over on my itch.io page. Wintertide Games is like the label that I kind of release stuff under. You might know me from projects I did Last Orders for ZineQuest last year, which did moderately well. And I recently released a supplement for Wonder Home. But I'm here to talk about my new Zine Month project, which is, yes, The Fall of Home.
I've written my little description about The Fall of Home because I've played it, but I'd like to hear what the elevator pitch from the designer point of view first.
Yeah, okay. Fall of Home is a game about a group of travelers who have all met on the road back to their hometown, which has been destroyed in some kind of unspecified but also somewhat metaphysical disaster. There's ruins that have been left behind, but the nature of what has happened to their hometown is kind of largely left up to the players. The meat of the game is that there's some kind of little shared world building at the start where everyone defines the kind of the town that they have all come from in, and the various ways that they relate to that. And then the rest of the game is sort of shared scenes, kind of picking through the ruins, finding locations or items that remind them of their time in the town and talking about it with each other.
It's interesting that you've used the word metaphysical there, because so have I in my description of your game.
Hey, that's... we love to see my themes coming through.
Exactly. So my description of your game is a metaphysical and physical exploration of what home is when home no longer exists. When I played it, I thought it was... it's a system that gets you to think about the concept of home in ways that I probably would never have come across by myself just thinking about it. I guess the first question is, how did you come to this system and how did you come to this theme as well?
I think a lot of my inspiration came from my experiences having moved away from home when I moved. So I grew up in the south of England and then I moved up to London for university and then I sort of never left. Kind of the feelings to do with what it's like to move away from home and then going back and it being kind of like the same but also weirdly different in a way that doesn't quite connect, as well as the kind of the physical place having your relationship to it changing as well. So yeah, largely inspired by my experiences having finally moved away from home.
So it's based on personal experience, but
yes.
If I can, I want to dig a little bit more into that. Was there a moment or was there, you know, a particular spark that communicated to you, ooh, this is the feeling, this is the theme I want to get across via the game?
I had a very close-knit group of friends in sixth form, and we did a, like, not everything, but, you know, we were very close-knit. And kind of after everyone moved away to their respective unis, that sort of drifted apart. I think it was a Christmas after kind of that had all fallen apart and kind of returning, and specifically walking past, there's a little playground, like a kid's playground in between the train station and my house. And that was where we'd hung out the night before I moved away. And walking past that after that had all gone down and kind of seeing it kind of gave me a lot of feelings, I guess.
Okay.
And I wanted to try and capture some of that. I would also say that the video game Night in the Woods was a big inspiration as well.
That was kind of my next question. You know, what other media were you inspired by? I know there's a specific reference in the rules manual.
Yes, so the name Fall of Home comes from a Los Campesinos song, one of my favourite bands. They're like a Cardiff-based kind of indie band. No, they formed in Cardiff. They're not actually based in Cardiff. That song kind of, again, captures a lot of the vibe that I wanted to emulate with this game in kind of returning to your hometown and seeing how things have changed and in a lot of ways kind of deteriorated. Obviously, you know, the political situation in the UK has been not great for a while, and kind of the slow slide towards fascism and stuff like that is definitely a theme in that. But also just kind of small things like seeing places that you used to hang out at, like boarded up and that kind of thing. I would also say in terms of the specific kind of nature of how I executed the sort of fantasy-ish elements in the game, Bastion by Supergiant Games was definitely an inspiration as well.
Personal favorite.
Yes, the Calamity in that being, I think, quite a strong parallel to what I feeling I was trying to evoke in whatever has happened to the town.
I hadn't actually thought of Bastion, but that is so fitting. I'm going to go back and revisit that game now that you've mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, all of Supergiant Games is, you know, every single thing they've put out is great, but Bastion still stands out to me as, like, I think one of my favorites.
Top notch.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Before we get into the crowdfunding campaign, all those feelings that you've mentioned, how do you translate that mechanically into the game, you know, and how did you get there as well?
I guess a bit of backstory about this game. So this was the first tabletop game I ever designed. And so I very much just sort of muddled away my way through a lot of this. This was the original version. This campaign is for essentially a remastered version where I'm fixing a lot of the things that I think I messed up, because I think that the game has a lot of potential and I want to, you know, get it to a place where I'm happy with it, I guess. I definitely started with a point of everyone has grown up in a different place, but there's obviously always going to be shared elements. You have to build up this shared location before you can break it down. And that's how I got to kind of, you know, like a microscope-esque, something a bit like The Quiet Year, kind of an initial world-building step where people can all contribute elements to this kind of shared fictional location.
Then following into that is walks, which I actually think is probably the most interesting part of the game.
Yeah, so I wanted to try and capture in sort of an archetypal way, in, you know, in the way that a lot of games will use classes or playbooks, the different relationships people have to their hometown and how, you know, home can mean different things to different people. I ended up approaching that through defining each walk by the reason that they ultimately left, because I just wanted to capture the variety of different experiences people had. You know, I was aware that, you know, my particular relationship to my hometown is only one of many, and I wanted to make sure there was room in the system for people, you know, who maybe moved away from home when they were quite young and were homeless for a time or that kind of thing, had room to talk about that.
It's really interesting what you've done with the walks. I've got them in front of me right now, because often when we speak of home, we've got this sort of circular logic thing going on where home is where the heart is, and so heart is where I call home. It's implicit in the definition of home that it's where you want to be, or that there is some sort of bittersweet nostalgia linking to it. But then some of the walks that you've defined here, they just don't like home. They've moved away because home pushed them away and they don't want to return. So there's connotations there of negative feelings towards something that normally in traditional media is seen as positive, which I think opens up the game to exploring, like you say, points of view that personally I wouldn't have considered.
Yeah.
And I think that's your best bit, really.
Thank you. That was definitely a conscious decision when I was sort of trying to kind of figure out what like archetypes exist in terms of how people relate to home, quote unquote. I definitely very consciously tried to get like a couple that are explicitly positive, a couple that like have some form of explicitly negative experience. Although obviously I think a lot of the meat of the game comes from the fact that like everyone has mixed feelings in some way, and then some that were sort of neutral. I'm glad that's come through.
It surprised me reading the manual, because during the world building phase, I was like, okay, this is a good backbone for the game. And then when I moved on to the walks page, I realized actually that's the backbone of the game. And it's the fall of home. And so the home obviously is in the title, but it's almost more like a character study just through the lens of home. Home is,
yes,
just, you know, the thing that you're examining the character through. And I was surprised by that just by reading the manual. It really sort of changed my perspective halfway through reading it. And it got me excited to play it as well. In conversation before we got into this interview, you spoke about a very specific problem problem that you had while designing this game, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was the scoring system at the end.
So I guess, to talk about this, I'm going to have to expand a little bit on the specific mechanics of kind of the scenes that occur in the game. In the original game, everyone had a limited number of resources that they could cash in to initiate a scene, essentially. And in order to try and encourage people to collaborate in each other's scenes, I sort of ended up having this scoring system whereby there was a total shared goal of points that people wanted to achieve, and the total number of points was higher than could reasonably be achieved by just being part of your own scenes. The impetus behind that system, I understand the choices I made back then, but in retrospect, because of the specific nature of the points and how there was this like final points total that you were looking to get to, it added this weird like almost accounting element of chasing a high score. That definitely wasn't kind of the tone I was trying to create, and in retrospect was one of the biggest missteps. And so with this second edition, I've completely gotten rid of the dice. It's just, there's two checklists and things. I haven't named all these yet. I'm still going back and forth on whether I want to keep the terminology from the original game. So essentially, there's still a finite resource that people can use to start a scene. But then everyone has a second track, which they cross off boxes on based on whether their contribution to a scene meets certain criteria. And that criteria will be different to each playbook. So for instance, for the Wanderlust, the criteria is going to be something on the lines of, if a scene hints at your desire for new locales, cross off a box. This is a system that is largely inspired by the one used in The Girlfriend of My Girlfriend is My Friend by Stargazer Sasha on Itch. I played that recently while I was in kind of the search for what was going to be this replacement mechanic, and it just was such a perfect fit. And yeah, I'm hoping that that is going to
take the accounting out.
Yeah, exactly. And it also means that the playbooks get to have, the walks rather, get to have a larger role in kind of the overall mechanics, which I think is definitely a step in the right direction, considering what you said with regards to them being the strongest part of the game.
Yeah, it's so difficult, isn't it, when you try to apply some kind of numerical mechanic to an RPG. Like, that's the first thing I write when I try to design something that's role-playing. Yeah. Because I'm convinced there's an accounting brain that we all have. Because the moment you start putting numbers in, it's like, oh yes, my character would do that. But if I do that instead, then maybe I can achieve the goal that I want to achieve nominally. And it's so difficult to balance that with role-playing and stop the game from becoming a board game.
Yeah, I was definitely influenced by the fact that a lot of how I kind of first got into tabletop games was through like quite crunchy stuff like Dungeons and Dragons and kind of that ilk of tabletop. Therefore, that was how I kind of approached design as a sort of field. And since then, I've very much tried to expand my horizons, and this is the result of that.
I think it's really cool what you've done with the design, because it kind of does look like an SRD in the sense that people can come in and make playbooks, and they have enough creative freedom that they can really communicate something different within the system that you've made. So congratulations on that. I think it's a really fantastic system to develop a very specific conversation about a very specific theme. I'm really an admiration of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I guess now that we've sort of described the game and the mechanics of it, tell us about the campaign.
I'm going to be launching the campaign on Kickstarter as like a last hurrah for that platform, I suppose. I think 14th of February. That's not a firm date, but I'm aiming for then. There's going to be a few different tiers. You'll be able to get just a PDF copy if you aren't interested in a physical zine. I'll obviously be doing physical zine as well. That's one of my favorite parts, quite frankly, of doing a campaign like this, is that I get to do all the production side of stuff and collaborate with artists and stuff. We've got Charles Fugson Avery, who has done cover art, which I'm very excited about. I also have some music by Molly Noyes for kind of the little opening video that I'm very excited about. It just really perfectly captures the tone I wanted to go for, and I'm hoping to have a slightly larger like concept albumy thing by her as a stretch goal. This has yet to be fully finalized, but my sister does really amazing lino prints, and I'm hoping that she's going to be able to do the interior art for those, and if that is the case, then some of the higher tier rewards will also get you some lino prints of some of the interior art as well.
So the campaign opens on the 14th of February on Kickstarter.
Yes.
It lasts however long you fund, you manage to make the game, send it off to everybody. The Fall of Home could either be a project that is complete, or it, I think, has potential for expansions, so to speak.
Yeah.
What are you going to do once sort of the main game is complete? You know, do you move on to DLC?
I definitely want to try and get some playbooks by some guest designers. I've been speaking to some people behind the scenes for those, but I don't want to announce them yet as they're not set in stone. But some playbooks by other people for sure is something I would like to do, just because, again, you know, everyone has different experiences, and I would love to see what other people can bring to the table. I also would quite like to have a little supplement of pre-written settings based on different designers' hometowns. I think that could be a really interesting way to do it as well, because a lot of how the gen works in the base game is having everyone at the table bring something to the table in creating the shared location. And that definitely creates interesting things, but I also am really interested to see what happens when a single person gets really strong creative control over the initial sandbox, I suppose. So that's something I'd really like to do as well.
So Joe, where can we find you online?
Okay, yes. So you can find me on Twitter at WinteryMute, WinteryMute. You can also find me at winterymute.itch.io. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/winterymute. I have very consistent online branding. Another thing, so I am part of an actual play podcast called Rolling With Rainbows. We are nearing the end of our first season, which is in Call of Cthulhu. Yes, an actual play podcast with an emphasis on queer representation. And I really think that our first season has exceeded all expectations I had for anything with me in it.
Well, you're setting a high bar with The Fall of Home, so...
Thank you.
So, I guess... all that remains is for me to say thank you very much, Joe, for coming on Yes Indeed Pod.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You've been a great interviewer.
Thank you. Good luck with your crowdfunding campaign.
Yes, you too.
To everybody listening, check out The Fall of Home on Kickstarter in February. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening. And thanks again to Albie and Joe for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. Today's episode is sponsored by Adam Bell of Have You Played This? Adam Bell and Jeremy Gage invite all indie tabletop RPG enjoyers to head over to haveyouplayedthis.com. Each week we'll be releasing shows, articles, videos, and the news for people who love RPGs. Catch Draw Your Dice in your podcast app on Saturdays, where Jeremy interviews game designers about their games and design processes. Tune in live each Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Each week the stream alternates between the HYPT podcast and the Tabletop Call-In Show. Get the latest news about the indie scene direct to your inbox every Tuesday. And finally, keep an eye on the site, that's haveyouplayedthis.com, for new videos and articles about cool games, design theory, and more. To complement the Yes Indeed Pod event, all through February, Yes Indeed Pod is running a Patreon drive. We're trying to hit $200 per month so that we can continue to pay all of our guests, as well as hire a podcast transcriber. If you sign up during February, on top of the usual benefits of being a subscriber, you can also get some exclusive merchandise. Sign up at $2 to get a handwritten postcard, as well as regular shoutouts and access to our guest and subscriber Discord server. At $5 per month, you can also join our monthly editing and chat streams, and I'll send you a handwritten greetings card and your choice of Yes Indeed Pod stickers. And at $20 per month, join our book club, where every month you get free PDFs from one of our guests. As well as a greetings card and stickers, you'll also get an exclusive, personalised faux leather bookmark for your RPG reading. So remember, if you love Yes Indeed Pod and want to support what we do and get some exclusive merchandise, be sure to check out patreon.com/yesindeedpod. If you can't commit regularly, you can always help out by rating and reviewing the show wherever you find your podcasts, or by donating through the Ko-Fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod, that's yesindeedpod. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. All music is adapted from Nothing Like Captain Crunch from Slam Funk by Broke for Free, available on the Free Music Archive and released under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Unported License. Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.